CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And Fire It Up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back. Today we have Stan Cox, who The Atlantic magazine names in its 2012 Reader's Choice as a brave thinker. Fans out there, make sure you get more shows like this one at fireitupwithcj.com. I'm Cassandra, live from CBS Sky Radio, and we're going to go right back to CJ and Stan.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm CJ Liu, and as Kermit the Frog said, it ain't easy being green, and it's especially hard for us Americans. The Global Footprint Network looked at the world's ecological footprint, and it looked at the resource consumption and waste production and the Earth's biological capacity to absorb the footprint. So based on how we're consuming right now, can the Earth take it? And the bad news is, in order to reach Earth's capacity, we have to reduce our global footprint by 45%. To be brought in line with the global biocapacity. And sorry, Americans, but our situation is even worse. If equity and fairness was an issue and we were to put our numbers in line with the rest of the world, as Americans, we would have to shrink our footprint by 80%. So hard news, I know. And I think it, you know, one of the reactions that could happen is people can go like, I don't want to hear it, shut your ears off, and go into a state of denial. Like, just let's hope this isn't true and CJ's wrong with her numbers. I hope this doesn't happen. And I think that that's an understandable reaction, but also I think we need to face the facts. This reality is hitting us, and the world can't take our consumption anymore. So I would encourage folks who are kind of in that state of like, oh my God, I just want to shut everything off. Yeah, shut off your air conditioning and your heat, but don't shut off the show. All right, so we have our next guest, Stan Cox, and we're going to be looking at what the world would look like if we had greenhouse emissions. Welcome back, Stan.
Good to be here.
So I was I found the options interesting and kind of alarming at the same time in terms of if we were to reduce our overall greenhouse emissions. There's policies out there about cap and trade, taxes, and even birth rationing as ways of lowering our emissions. Can you step us through what some of those things are and how they work?
Yes. Probably the most widely discussed possibility for a long time has been a carbon tax, which NASA scientist James Hansen has pushed for a long time, and as have others. That would be a kind of an indirect way of trying to reduce emissions by putting a tax on fossil fuels, which would raise the price of fuels along with a lot of other things that the fuels are necessary for producing. That would also create some unfairness because lower income households would have a harder time. Part of the plan would be, though, to take the revenues from the tax and reimburse everyone on a per capita basis. So that would reintroduce some fairness, but it still would be a very indirect and not as fair way of trying to reduce emissions as a more explicit rationing plan.
Yeah, and when I read your book, it was like, so let's say that right now in Seattle, a gallon of gas is $4, that this tax may make, I mean, the example that you use in your book, is, if I understood it correctly, was that it'd be $8 a gallon. Or, you know, some large tax, it wouldn't be like $4.50, it would be $8, in which case the fairness issue comes along where you say, well, not everyone can afford $8 per gallon with that kind of tax. And so the reimbursement would be like, okay, for those people who, you know, we're going to take that $4 excess and invest it in what? What would they be investing that $4 in, and what would the reimbursement be? I mean, how would that work?
Well, I assume it would come back like your income tax refund every year. Everybody would get a check. So that would not only recycle the money from the tax, but it would serve as, just like those other refunds do, as an economic stimulus, which would encourage further consumption and partially negate some of the effect of the tax. And nobody knows how the taxes would have to be to successfully reduce consumption. So rationing really wouldn't be a direct alternative to that. The direct alternative to that carbon tax would be to have, it, as I was talking about before, absolute limit in terms of barrels or of oil or tons of coal that the nation would not exceed. And then, and that should decline over time. And then in trying to figure out how to make sure everybody has sufficient access to resources, that's when, under that ceiling, then that's when some type of rationing would become necessary.
Yeah, so in that particular case, let's say that, you know, CJ gets 20 gallons of, you know, oil, Stan gets 20 gallons of oil, you know, whomever is out there, everyone gets 20 gallons of oil or so much of a card of energy that we can consume with the corresponding carbon emissions associated with it. And then, as I understand it, so we would get a card of some sort. I think that's what England was proposing, right? It was a card of some sort that they put a limit on. Is that right? Am I getting my data correct?
That's right. And the the trucking lines would only get so much oil, and Google would get only so much electricity to run their servers. And so everybody would be working out the most efficient way they could do what they need to do given those limitations.
Yeah, and then in that particular case, as I understand it, let's say that CJ gets 20 gallons, and because I'm so energy efficient and smart about the way, and I ride my bike everywhere, whatever, I only use 10 gallons, and I could either take that 10 gallons and trade it in or get money or sell it back. Is that the idea of the trade, the cap and the trade part? Is that the same idea as cap and trade?
Well, no, the what we're used to talking about with cap and trade is at the national level and involving the say utilities or, you know, heavy industry and governments and corporations, but we the British proposals for carbon rationing have incorporated that very thing you're describing, a kind of a personal cap and trade, so that if you either are very responsible or you're poor and just can't afford to spend all of your carbon credits, either way, you could sell them into a national carbon market and get money. And people who have used up their credits and need to get to work or whatever could buy at a pretty stiff price. They could buy credits that you've sold and be able to buy more fuel. But the overall, that would keep the overall level of carbon emissions at a constant level.
Right. So then we could really truly ration where the overall supply would be monitored versus the taxes. Who knows? If you would hope, there's this hope that this indirect way would limit the amount of consumption and keep our supplies lowered, but who knows if that would happen. But this in the cap, personal cap and trade, that would be kind of assured.
But we would have to avoid the mistakes that have been made in the international cap and trade schemes in which there are ways to buy out of limits with these offsets where you can get credits by paying somebody to plant trees in Indonesia or something.
Yeah, right.
And there are a lot of very shady things going on. And ways that they can lift the cap or put, you know, pressure valves and all these things. And so
right.
it would have to be a very firm cap that there are no escape hatches from.
Yeah, we can't have actually these loopholes. So we have Stan Cox, author of Any Way You Slice It. And in the next segment, we're going to be talking about rationing of healthcare. So online folks, make sure to go to www.firedupwithcj.com. You get a schedule of upcoming shows. We'll be right back.